وعلى على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable ulama and kiram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, given nubuwwat in Makkah Mukarrama, we also know that salah had become obligatory fard in Makkah Mukarrama, but the formal performance, organizing of the sufuf, the people, the tartib, the order, that all had come in Medina Tayyibah. Many ahkam had been revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Sahaba radiallahu anhum were unable to implement, to continue, to practice on certain of those injunctions and parts of revelation. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes hijrah for the implementation of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we see many of the ahkam now become formal because a deeni environment is established. So the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to facilitate, to create that imani mahol, that environment that becomes conducive for all and sundry to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Makkah Mukarrama, it was difficult to organize, to call out the adhan, to call people for salah, to the extent of even the performance of salah openly in the Haram Sharif was difficult. But the moment Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embarks on this historical journey of hijrah, then we see everything becomes easy, formalized, and that environment now is created. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Fathu Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says on the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, la hijrata ba'da al-yawm. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah, it was obligatory, it was necessary on every capable, able person to make hijrah. If you had the means, you had the ability, the physical strength, it was necessary for a person to embark on hijrah, to leave Makkah Mukarrama and to come to Medina Tayyiba. Now again, every salah in Makkah Mukarrama is multiplied 100,000 times. Medina Tayyiba, generally we say 1,000, there are certain narrations of 50,000, but we can understand that the amal that are completed, that are done, practiced in Makkah Mukarrama, the reward is far more reaching as compared to Medina Tayyiba. Yet Sahaba radiallahu anhum are ordered to make this hijrah and to come to Medina Tayyiba. Why? To establish that in imani environment and mahol. But at Fathu Makkah, the announcement from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is la hijrata ba'd al-yawm. As of today, there is no hijrah that is incumbent, compulsory on any individual. Walakin jihadun waniya. But sacrificing, striving for the deen of Allah, that continues. Holding a good intention to establish the deen of Allah should be done by every individual. So we don't have to make hijrah to Medina Tayyiba, but we need to strive for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at this announcement at Fathu Makkah, the 8th year after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there is no hijrah that's compulsory. But the point being driven home, what brought upon that imani mahol and environment in Medina Tayyiba? What was the reason for the Medina Charter? What was the reason of the victory of Sahaba radiallahu anhum? It was the hijrah by leaving Makkah Mukarrama and coming to Medina Tayyiba. Important, a point in passing, is that as Muslims, just as we identify ourselves by Muslim names, person, his name is Muhammad, Ahmed, Ismail, Ibrahim, we know he's a Muslim. When a person dresses according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is an indication that this person is a Muslim.
So we need to continuously identify ourselves by all those tools and reasons that keep us and identify us as Muslims. And that also is the Islamic calendar. We have to identify ourselves with that calendar. We need to know, and we ask ourselves the question, what is the Islamic year? Let's leave the date. What is the Islamic year? 1400 and what is it? Later on in the year, can I complete that answer? Will I be able to know? And am I keeping track? Which month is it? What's the date? Etc. How many of the a'mal Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given advice because of the Islamic calendar? A simple example would be cupping. If a person, for whatever reason, he's sick, he has taken ill, and he wants to practice the sunnah of cupping, he goes to someone who's experienced in the field. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged that the most beneficial days of cupping are 17th, 19th and 21st. Yes, with the details of which we can ask ulama, but the point being driven, you need to know the Islamic dates. There was a day that Rasulullah said, be careful of this date, don't do cupping on this certain date. So it's important that we know this the Islamic calendar and the date. But the point is that the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now we've been in Muharram 1447. There were two groups, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who made hijrah and the Sahaba who embraced them and became the Ansar. So the Muhajirin and the Ansar gave birth to the city of Medina Tayyibah. Gives every one of us reason to go Medina Tayyibah. Why? Sahaba radiallahu anhu made hijrat. There was hijrat by certain Sahaba twice before. Some made two hijrats to Habasha, to Abyssinia. But what was that? It was only a safe haven. You come, you enjoy your freedom. But that did not become Darul Hijrah. Why? The people of the land did not embrace the Muhajirin and the migrant Sahaba to say that this is your place of safety, of freedom, and we also want to become like you. But Medina Tayyibah, before Nabi Sallam makes Hijrat, we know the bi'ah that took place, bi'atul Aqaba, the many other times that the Sahaba or rather people of Medina Tayyibah had come to Makkah Mukarramah to tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Medina Munawwara is open. We will stand with you in thick and thin. That this is the place we will embrace your deen. We will embrace your religion and your teachings. So the coupling of Hijrat and Nusrat gave birth to Medina Tayyibah. The question is, every one of us, what can be my share in Hijrat? Do I need to go Medina Tayyibah? What do I need to go? Do I need to leave this country and go to another place? No. What is my share in Hijrah? My share in Hijrah in South Africa is Alhamdulillah, in South Africa, we can pride ourselves and we can say, Thumma Alhamdulillah, that we have so much of ease in the practicing of deen despite this being a non-Islamic state. We're not a Muslim country. We in the minority, but no one stops us from coming to the masjid. Go and embark on the journey, go to Masjid al-Aqsa. You will see Muslims, the people who are the soil of the land, part of Palestine, of Palestine, yet they will be barred from entering Masjid al-Aqsa. Brother, why you can't go? We're coming from South Africa, they're allowing us. He says, I don't have the permit to enter. I don't have an Israeli passport. I'm from the West Bank. Oh, I already used my permit or my reason to go to Masjid al-Aqsa. I cannot go. Yet a South African will go and with pleasure and ease, every salah he'll be performing. So no one is stopping us from coming to the masjid, sending our children to the madrasa, sending them to maktab, sending our children to the Darul Uloom to become qurra of the Quran, to embrace the deen and to become scholars and ulama and muftis, etc. One person to understand what South Africa has to offer. Person from one of the African countries, businessman, not to say he was a parwata and he had nothing to do. He was busy, he had a busy schedule. He came to South Africa to drop off his son. And he says, I want my son to become Hafizul Quran. Brother, you come all the way from another country, you take a flight just to drop off your son? He says, yes. There is no his class in the entire country. But this was in 2002. Or 2001, 2002. Wallahu alam what has progressed and developed since then. But one of the African countries, he says, we are Muslims. We are, but we don't have his class. We don't have people who can give the quality that I want my son to get. So I brought him to South Africa. So he went to the principal, waited for the madrasa to open. Admission is accepted, and then the principal says, my brother, your son cannot be a boarding student. He says, what you mean? I'm not from here. I need to go back home. I've got work. I've got commitments. He says, he's underage. He is 10 years old, and we cannot keep him in the boarding facility. And he's a foreigner. You'll have to make some arrangements. So he says, okay, give me a day or two, but for the timing, let him go to the HIFS class. Son was going HIFS class 1 or 2 days. On the third day, the father says, I'm ready to stay in the country until he completes his HIFS. He tells his son, listen, I'm not going back home. Whatever is there, my commitments, my work, put everything on hold. I'm staying until you become Hafizul Quran. We don't have time to waste. Please complete your HIFS and your journey very quickly. Within 9 months, he came back. He says, Dad, I've completed my HIFS. In 9 months, he completed his HIFS. Why? He came with an objective. He understands what's there to offer in South Africa. And he takes advantage of these facilities. So what's my and your hijrah? My and your hijrah would be, when we are looking for a home, look for a home that I can walk to the masjid. If I cannot walk, at least I can take my car and with ease I would go to the masjid. Not choosing some place where I'm locked up in an estate, 7 minutes to come out, protocol, difficult. Then you ask the person, hardly see you in the masjid. Says, no, far. By the time I come to the masjid, it's about 15 minutes. How you expect me to come? We need a tomb with the family. Our choices as Muslims should be the pivotal point. The central point is the masjid for a Muslim. You look for a house because of the masjid, because of the facilities that are offered for your child. The madrasa, the Darul Uloom, an alim, a facility, someone you can go and ask questions at any time. When we were studying, I remember there was a couple from America, whichever state it was, I cannot recall. But very clearly I remember this person, he was in his first year and we were towards the end of our studies, and he says, Maulana, please make intention, you're making hijrat, you're coming to America. So he says, Inshallah, we've got that Inshallah for us. So Inshallah, let's see what happens. So he says, see, you all are so fortunate, you all are spoiled for choice in this country. The state I come from, in my state, like say in a province, he says, I can count the ulama on my fingers. We have very few. Please come and make an effort in the country. But the lesson is that we've got so much in South Africa. If we make hijrat because of the reason of deen, we come closer to a masjid, not going further away from the masjid, not going into an estate so brothers can't knock on the door and say, the jamaat is here, we came to speak to you about Allah. But I'm a Muslim. So you go into an estate, you lock yourself and no one can come. And even if they have to buzz, they have to go via security. Security says, oh, there's some Muslim brothers. No. Hold on, we quite busy now. Tell him, make an appointment with me. Can't just come and speak about Allah. Must make an appointment to speak about Allah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what hijrat did they make? One example, Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu. He was a rich, affluent businessman, had that gold, silver, his treasures. When he makes hijrah, he waits for that opportunity. Nabi Sam is gone in far long into the hijrah, reached Medina Tayyibah. Suhaib, generally we say Suhaib al-Rumi, the Roman. He was not a Roman in his ancestry, meaning his blood was not Roman. He was Arab. But because of his appearance, his physical appearance, and he had changed masters multiple times in Roman lands, because of which he was known as Suhaib the Roman. But he was not Roman. He looked, he had those features, his hair, etc., and that look. That's why they call him the Roman. Be as it may, Suhaib radiallahu anhu is waiting for this opportunity. People are on very high alert to stop Sahaba radiallahu anhum from making hijrah. So he waits for that moment and he doesn't see any moment. Meaning he cannot leave with his goods. With the gold and the silver, not possible. So one day, cold night, late hours of the night, he goes out as if he's going to relieve himself. So the people on guard and watch, they saw him. They said, it's okay. He doesn't have any belongings with him. Most likely he's coming back. And eventually only to realize he's not on his way back. So they send the scouts to look for him. And immediately they accost, they apprehend Suhaib radiallahu anhu. He's surrounded. And he says, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh. Quraysh, you all know, I am a marksman of note. If I take out an arrow from my quiver, it's never going to miss a man. You're never going to be missed. And I'll kill one person per arrow. And the rest, I'll take out my sword and I will fight until death does us apart. We'll decide. So they said, okay, that's true. You're very good in hitting your target. Where's the gold and the silver? He says, okay. It seems like you are more interested in my money. He says, yes, that's what we want. He says, let's strike a deal. I show you where's my treasures. You allow me to embark on the journey of hijrah. They say, no problem. So he showed them the spot where he had hid his treasures, gold and silver. Imagine telling a person, there's the keys to my house. There's the keys to my business. I just need to go and see Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each one of us, try and contextualize it for ourselves. Imagine telling a person, there's the keys to my house and to my business, but allow me to make hijrat. Oh, what would we have said, done, if we were in such a predicament? You need to leave South Africa for the preservation of your deen. What would we do? Are we still so attached? They will say, no, I work so hard, my sweat is in here, my blood is in here. We'll hide and we'll perform the deen of Allah. Or would we embark immediately, keep it? He leaves it. He goes for hijrah. The moment he enters and he comes, he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Rabbi halbay ya Aba Yahya, Rabbi halbay. What a profitable deal. Oh Suhaib, what a deal. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu is looking at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shocked. He says, what I did, I was alone in the journey. No one surpassed me and beat me in the journey to relay this message to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah sallam, it seems like revelation has come about me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Suhaib, when it happened, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came, the ayat was already revealed regarding your achievement. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بُتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Amongst men will be those that are ready to sell anything for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take it all. So he says, Suhaib, I already know what you have accomplished. Take it, it's okay, it's fine, alhamdulillah. But the ayah is revealed, me and you will be reading this ayah till the morning of the day of Qiyamah. Why? Because of that accomplishment and that feat of Suhaib radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the tawfiq that we also make decisions of hijrah, but we don't have to leave the country. Come close to an environment of deen. One of our friends is in the country, he's from America. He's come with his entire family. But, Mulana, don't you have work? Gee, I've taken leave. I wouldn't be teaching. But don't you have family? I've got family. I've taken permission. But why come with everyone? He says, I need to make sure that the tarbiyah of my children is in a deeni environment. Give them education, Islamic par excellence. When they go back to America, then they are flag bearers of deen. That's why I'm coming here. We are so spoiled, alhamdulillah, in South Africa. Look for that opportunity where we can make tarbiyah, nurture that iman, maximize on the opportunities and the facilities we have for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is hijrah. And nusra, what nusra can I make of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The nusra of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whichever way possible. Even if it means putting something straight in the masjid, helping someone who is already cleaning the masjid, someone who is helping the deen of Allah to be a help and assistant to him, be an ansar, like a person, someone's working for you, your neighbors, someone is working for you, visit him. Sometimes, you know, we caught up in an office, you in that office block, how many of the employers would go down and really go visit the employee, whatever be his salary, see whether he's coming out or not. That person who is the reason for your success in your business, shouldn't he be a reason for the success of his life at least? To ensure that he is comfortable in his life. Alhamdulillah, those that have ta'alluq with ulama, some effort of deen, one youngster was explaining in business, so he was saying that Mulana, one of the employees, I could see, like, you know, he's down, he's out, he's just not himself. So I told him, I want to come and visit you one of the days. So he says, Gigi, he got happy. So he prepared some goodies for him. He says, when he comes, then he will partake of it. When this employer entered the house, he just scanned the house, cursory glance over everything. He walked out. The next day he called the person to his office. He says, why didn't you tell me you're living like that? Why didn't you tell me? You don't have cupboards for the clothes. You don't even have cupboards. I mean, how am I living? You know, you're an important person in my business. He says, immediately get the carpenters, at least put cupboards. I mean, your child is becoming Hafizul Quran. You don't have enough money for electricity to keep the lights on. How is he going to become a Hafizul Quran? He says, right, electricity, that bill is mine. But yes, within reason. But how many of us have done something like that? A person comes late to work, we lash out, we get heated, we upset. This is the time to come. 5 minutes, you calculate how much it's worth. Is everything about money? Look into our ancestry, you will find the success of our blood. People who have given us what we are enjoying today on the plate was because what they did for the sake of Allah, not because of money. Today, what's my financial peace in it? How much of will I secure in it? How much money will I get? How much of effort they did for the deen of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. We are enjoying the barakah of it today. Everything doesn't have to be monetary. So one person came late to work. The employer is very upset, and before he could say anything, he says, let me just keep it for a few days, maybe by the end of the month, I may just fire him and dismiss him. Lo and behold, the next day, as this employer was coming to work, he dropped up his son at a certain doctor, clinic, whatever it was. As he stopped, he sees this employee of his, he is running with a wheelchair because his child had autism. He left him at a facility and he comes 5 to 10 minutes late. He says, but hold on, you didn't tell me about it. He says, why should I burden you with my difficulties? There's no one to take care of him. I had to wait for that facility to open every day. Rain, sun, I will move him with that wheelchair to keep him and then I come to work. After seeing that, he increased his salary and he did not dismiss him. But nusra, to whichever way we can help someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the tawfiq and the ability. We have to be part of one of two. Either we are making sacrifices for the deen of Allah, or either we embrace and we make nusra and we help those people who are helping the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah.